scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, from Las Vegas, we continue with our draft week coverage on Flames Talk. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, we are coming at you from Vegas. Draft week is well underway, and Wednesday afternoon was the top prospects availability, and got some really, really good stuff with some of the top prospects in this year's draft. And, you know, we didn't focus on the very, very top, so maybe skip the Macklin Celebrinis and the Ivan Demidovs, because those players very unlikely to fall to the Calgary Flames at number 9. Instead, we spoke to 6 players on Wednesday that could very well be selected by the Flames at number 9 overall. Okay, this is Flames Talk, and our draft coverage all week long from Vegas, brought to you by 4 great sponsors, including Adrenaline Source for Sports. Their second location's opening soon at Northland Village Mall. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com and FC Hockey. FC Hockey is the official draft guide of our draft coverage here in Vegas. You can go get 40% off the draft guide right now at NHLEntryDraft.com. Use the promo code SN960. We were both there out in Summerlin. Good little hike from the Strip.
Yep.
And we had an opportunity to chat with some of the top prospects in this year's draft. And I don't know if there was one overarching takeaway from me, but every time I go to one of these prospects availability, it just strikes me every time how much more media trained these guys are. And that was definitely no different this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be my big takeaway, is just how calm, composed, well-spoken these players are. And it's interesting because for me in particular, I spend a season critiquing their on-ice game, and then after the fact get to sit with them, talk to them, ask them questions, both about their game, about their lives, things that circle around hockey. And for the most part, you come away just impressed and blown away, and it's like, ooh, okay, well, I didn't like this characteristic or that characteristic on player X or player Y. But man, how can you not appreciate the individual that they are, how forthcoming they are, as you mentioned, how well spoken they are.
Yeah.
And it gets better and better each year with these prospects who are just so much more polished in the media element of things, but just also more forthcoming, maybe less guarded, and from that you get a lot of good, genuine conversation from them.
The 6 players that we spoke to, I feel like there was some media there. It wasn't like a huge media throng by any means, but I feel like me and you were the two guys asking the most questions throughout. But Tisha Ginla, Cole Iserman, Zeev Bouyum, Berkeley Catton, Sam Dickinson, and Zane Parekh were the 6 players that we spoke to at the top prospects availability. You know, and we're going to hear from Tisha Ginla first in just a little bit. But, you know, some of them talked about their interviews with the Flames. Tisha Ginla definitely talked about what it might be like to be drafted by the Flames. And the reason we focused on these 6 is because they kind of, all 6 of them fall in that second tier, if you will,
right,
or third tier, I guess, depending on where you see Demidov. If there's a Macklin Celebrini tier and an Ivan Demidov tier at 1-2, then there's that next group where the Flames are in at number 9. And all 6 of the guys we spoke to are in that group of 9, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be the pleasure of the draft. And I know from my talking to a few of these prospects, I asked them their perspective on how wide open this draft is, because to be perfectly honest, there's probably a case to be made for each of the players that we spoke with that could go at number 3, and there's also the potential that they could still be available for the Calgary Flames at number 9. So it's going to be a wild ride from the Sphere in Las Vegas when round 1 kicks off, both for media and for these players as well.
I think one of the more interesting parts of all of this, and one of the most interesting questions that we'll have answered come Friday night is, you know, how does the league see Tisha Ginla? Because there are so many differing rankings for him. If you look at different services, whether it's Central Scouting, FC Hockey, some of the other external services that do this, then obviously all 32 lists from the teams are going to be different. So where does Tiija Ginla end up ranking? You know, maybe it's really high for the team that takes him. Is it Columbus at 4 or Montreal at 5? Is he still there when the Flames are up at number 9 overall? We're going to hear from him in just a second, but that's going to be one of the most interesting things that we find out here in the next, you know, in the next few days leading up to Friday.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to take a step back from Wednesday, June 26th, and figure out how we got here in regards to Tiija Ginla, because this is a player 365 days ago that is coming off I don't want to call it an average year with the Seattle Thunderbirds, because he is a double underager in terms of being eligible for the draft. But at the same time, you look at it and you go, okay, well, the consensus at that point, if you can call it a consensus, was, okay, he's looking at entering his draft year as a potential second or third round pick. And all he did was grow and grow and grow with the Kelowna Rockets, to the point where he was Central Scouting's number 9 ranked North American skater, 13 at FC Hockey. The consensus generally is in and around that 9 spot that the Calgary Flames will have. So his trajectory was just a continual climb from puck drop in preseason WHL action in September until wrapping up the playoffs in the Western Hockey League. And you have to think, well, I should actually mention he was a standout performer at the U18s as well for Canada.
Sure was.
So that's another element that's seeing him climb. But you just wonder, if you attacked on another month or another 2 months of runway for him to show even more, where would his ranking be then? And that's going to be one of the elements that teams are going to have to decide, is where is Tiija Ginla going to go? Is there an instance where a number is too high for him? There's certainly going to be one where that's too low, because the team's going to snap him up in a heartbeat. But it really is interesting to see, as you mentioned, you have Columbus as a potential landing spot, Montreal, Utah, certainly the Calgary Flames are potentially hoping that he's available at number 9. His growth year over year has just been substantial, to the point where he had 84 points this season, 41 goals, 66-point improvement from his rookie season, yep, the WHL a year ago with the Seattle Thunderbirds. That is, those totals alone, just if you just drop them in a season, would be impressive for a draft eligible. No, that's his year over year improvement, not his final total. 47 goals, 84 points, just absolute massive growth spurt in terms of what we saw at Tiija Ginla this year.
Let's hear from Tiija Ginla. He spoke with us at Wednesday's prospects availability, and yep, he gets into us a couple of cool Flame stories in here as well when I asked him about that. Let's check in with Tiija Ginla.
Tiija, your dad played in a Canadian market for a long time. There's a couple of Canadian teams that pick in the top 10. Montreal picks 5, probably the most pressured environment in the entire National Hockey League. How would you feel about the prospect of playing in an environment like that?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. I mean, I think it's so cool the how much passion the fans in Canada have, and I saw this run with the Oilers and their fans, and all the Canadian markets are like that. And so I think it'd be obviously maybe there's a little bit more pressure when things aren't going as well, but I think to win in a Canadian market would be so spectacular.
How many conversations have you had with the Canadians? How do you think they've gone? And do you have anything scheduled to meet with them over the next couple of days?
Yeah, I've had a few good conversations with them, and I think they've gone well. But it's tough to know. It's so hard to know where you're going until you hear your name called.
We are only a couple of days away from the draft. Is it hard to go to sleep? Are you imagining yourself with a specific jersey on? What's the feeling right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, it still feels a little bit off, but I think day before, I think I'll start to get a little bit nervous, and probably be harder to sleep that night. But it's so hard to know where you're going to go, and just trust that everything's going to work out.
The Flames, could it be like the Hollywood script if you're drafted by that team?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to go to the Flames, but at the same time, every team in the NHL would be great to go to. So, I'm just excited.
Have you walked by the Sphere yet? Have you had a chance to see it?
Not too close, but seen it from a bit of a distance. But I'm looking forward to getting inside there and seeing the setup that they got in there.
You know, they might have your face, your highlights on the screen on the outside when you ever get picked. Have you thought about that?
That would be sick. I think that'd be cool, but Yeah, I'd like to see how it'd be from the outside, but if I'm in there, then I probably won't get to see it.
Have you seen photos, video, any YouTube stuff of what it looks like from the concerts that have been there?
Not really. I tried to look it up a couple days ago, but I think it'll be kind of nice to, I guess, be a bit of a surprise going in there too.
Teacher, a lot of people are going to compare you to your dad. It's just it's a normal thing to do, but you're obviously different players. Your dad's a Hall of Famer. What do you make of hearing the comparisons?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I make too much of it. I mean, yeah, obviously we're two different players, and I guess that's for you guys to, you know, look at and make your comparisons and things like that. But yeah, I just try to focus on my game and just try to be the best player I can be.
Going possibly in the top 10, how far do you see your development? Do you think you can step in right away next year, play in the NHL? How do you see that?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, obviously I want to get there as soon as I can. But at the same time, I want to be in a good position and be the best player I can be when I do get there. So, yeah, I haven't put too much thought into that. But, yeah.
You feel ready, though, physically and everything?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm sure the guys in the NHL are probably stronger and more powerful than I can even imagine. But, yeah, I mean, I'm committed to, you know, developing my game as best I can and getting there as soon as possible.
Knowing the family connection with Calgary, what has been interviewing and meeting with them been like?
Yeah, I met with them at the combine, and it was good. I was knew Connor growing up quite a bit, and we'd always go to his house on Christmas Eve. So he had some good little get-togethers there, and yeah, so it was kind of funny going in the combine interview, and he's asking me questions, and I'm thinking back to, you know, when I was a little kid we do the Santa tracker there in his house in the basement. But it's just kind of funny connection there. But yeah, it's been good.
I know that any team, it's an honor to go to, but growing up and like, was wearing that jersey something that you thought about a lot?
No, to be honest, I didn't really think too much about which team that I'd go to when I was older. You know, I knew that you could really go to anyone, and yeah, so I didn't really have a team where I was like, I really want to play for this team when I grow up. But yeah,
what when you think about Calgary, I know you spent time in Boston and elsewhere, but when you think about your time in Calgary, what is the connection like to that city?
Yeah, it was obviously a long time ago. Lived there till I was 6 years old, but it was a lot of fun. They had good hockey and good city, and yeah, I think the fan base is super passionate, and it'd be cool to get to play there.
So that is Tejah Ginla, and we all know that Flames fans are all over whether or not Tejah Ginla is going to go ninth overall to the Flames on Friday or not. And now we wait to see how that plays itself out. I will say his face lit up whenever you asked him about the Flames. Or if you, you know, when I asked him about the meetings and he started talking about Craig Conroy, huge smile on his face. When he was first asked about the Flames a little earlier, was the first time his eyes and face kind of lit up. So that was pretty neat. That's Tejah Ginla. By the way, FC Hockey has Tejah ranked at number 13 from the Kelowna Rockets. Let's focus now on Cole Iserman, who FC Hockey has just a couple spots ahead of Tejah Ginla. He is the 11th ranked player at FC Hockey, coming off a 25-goal, 34-point season with the U.S. National Development Team in their USHL play. Had lots of other points in some of their other games because they play against, you know, they play international games, they play USHL. They're all over the place, that National Development Team. He is your number 11 ranked player. He's still 17 years old. He honestly, when I was talking to him, I thought he was in his mid-20s.
Yep.
Tell us about Cole Iserman as we're about to hear from him.
Cole Iserman is an interesting case of potentially over-scouting, but at the same time not seeing enough growth in the elements of his game that aren't his calling card. There is no question about it. Cole Iserman is this draft's best pure goal scorer. And he is now the National Team Development Program all-time leading goal getter with 127 goals over the course of the last couple of seasons. He's surpassed Cole Caulfield. Other names through that program, Jack Eichel, Jack Hughes, Phil Kessel, pretty much any premier American-born player over the course of the last 7 or 8 years has gone through this program. none has outscored Cole Iserman. Now, the issue or the question surrounding him are, okay, what are you doing when you're not scoring goals? And that will give teams a lot of pause. And I know it was a point of emphasis for him in the second half of the season in terms of trying to round out his game a little bit more. You can teach the other side of the game. The hardest thing to do in the sport of hockey is score goals. Nobody does it better than him. But to see him now, he's number 11 on our board, as you mentioned, number 12th ranked skater by Central Scouting. This was a player that was projected to push Macklin Celebrini for number one a year ago today. And you just didn't see enough of his off-puck play, his 200-foot play, commitment to defense. And it's clearly something that he's aware of and something that he's trying to address. I don't know from my perspective how far along that line he got, and teams will have to take a look at that to make sure that, okay, if you're not filling the back of the net, if you're not producing at a goal-per-game pace, which is what he did this season with the National Team Development Program, what else can you contribute to a winning team? That's the area that he needs to focus on, and that'll be the question that teams had for him at the Combine and will continue to have for him this week and will ultimately decide where he goes in the draft.
Let's hear from Cole Iserman. He is up next and could very well be there when the Flames pick at number 9 as well.
Probably been asked about some of the meetings you've had with different teams. Just, how about the Flames in Calgary? How do you feel that one went?
I thought it went well. I knew Mr. Iginla from growing up, and it was pretty funny being in a room with him now, talking with the NHL team, and I thought it went well. I thought they really appreciate my style of play, and obviously we'll see what happens, and but I thought it was a really good meeting.
So Mr. Iginla, that's how you'd refer to him?
That's how I will only refer to him ever. So
what's that like sitting down with Jerome and Craig Conroy, former NHLers? I'm sure you went through a lot of that, but what's that like sitting down in those rooms?
Yeah, it's definitely really cool. Obviously you kind of you got to be a pro too, and kind of see them as regular people as much as you want to freak out, and it's pretty cool, but you got to be very respectful to them, and obviously they've done a lot more than I have, and kind of knowing that and respecting them and looking them in the eyes and kind of being a man is very huge in those situations. So
I've asked a couple of the guys, but just with so much unknown and nobody really knows how this is going to shake out, is that something that excites you, nerve-wracking? How does that make you feel?
It's exciting. Obviously it's the NHL, and whatever happens is pretty cool, and I think it makes it more fun expecting. I think if you expect something and it doesn't work, it's kind of worse, and but if you expect the least, and you're gonna be excited no matter what. So
Cole, I just want to ask you, you've been playing with and against a lot of the guys in this draft class for a number of years now. Who's the toughest defenseman to go up one-on-one against?
Priority, big guy, really, really smooth and unbelievable hockey player, so probably him.
I want to ask you about Cole Hutson as well, who you're obviously familiar with, because for me he's a little bit of a wild card, a little bit like his brother. You get to practice and play against him.
Yeah.
Just what's it like when you're on the ice, when he's on your side? I guess you probably have to be aware at all times that the puck could end your way.
Yeah, definitely had to get used to it the first year, and you definitely get used to it that the Hutsons are going to make passes to you and they're going to do stuff that you're not expecting. And for me, it was easy. I'd kind of, wind up the one-timer, and he'd do his stuff, and that made it fun for me. And but definitely super, skilled players, and I think Lane helped Cole a lot. I think, kind of seeing what – obviously he's playing the NHL now. It's going to help Cole kind of get drafted earlier than, Lane did, so –
And then going up against EJ in practice all the time, kind of a reverse a little bit. It must be annoying to have to battle with him in practice day.
But he's the guys that you kind of want to go against in practice, make you better, make the games easier. And he's super fast, lanky, really powerful, strong, and, obviously really competitive and super fun to play going against in practice. So,
how did you feel your all-around game grew in the second half of the season?
Thought it was huge. Thought it, took some really big steps, and they're going to continue to make steps. And it's something that, I was still 17 and still learning a lot and still got a lot to learn, but definitely, made some really good improvements, and I'm super kind of proud of myself for it. So
last one I have for you is your relationship with Macklin.
Yep.
Obviously a special one. How far do you guys go back, and how frequently would you text during the season?
I mean, we talked almost every day and met at 13 years old, and obviously that's not too far away from now, but especially I think when we're 50 and we're done playing, it's going to be a long time ago. And obviously super proud of him. He deserves everything he's getting. Really enjoyed kind of playing with him, and hopefully we can cross paths at some point.
How much are you taking everything in this week and making sure that, you know, this all gets filed away for the future?
No, definitely. I think I definitely enjoy being here than being at home right now. I think, you know, the anticipation there is harder, and now I'm kind of in the mix of it, and you definitely feel more comfortable and you get more excited, and it's now more real, and you kind of just got to enjoy it one day at a time and have fun. So,
you've been on the radar for like 2, 3, 4 years now. What's been the most difficult part of this entire draft process for you?
Just improving probably every single, you know, game, and always kind of adding steps, because obviously it's a hard game, and you're not going to just improve, you know, a lot as a 17-year-old, and kind of get to learn and learn and learn and learn. You got to mature really quick, and especially, you know, when you get it young, you got to mature a lot quicker than the people that get it older, and it's something that I'm grateful for now. Definitely, you know, made more steps than I would have if I, you know, started getting the attention now, so.
Apologies if I'm misremembering, but are you the big karaoke fan?
I am. I love karaoke. I'm going to, hopefully after I get drafted, I'll rip some karaoke and it should be a fun time. So,
what are your top three?
Let's go Wagon Wheel, Chicken Fried, More Than My Hometown, Morgan Wallen. Just three solid choices.
Okay, I don't mind those karaoke choices from Cold Eisenman either. I like that. Morgan Wallen.
Which one are you most likely to bust out in Vegas this week?
Chicken Fried for sure. A little Zac Brown Band all day. Okay. All day a little Chicken Fried. That was pretty cool to hear from Cole Eisenman, number 11 ranked skater, or number 11 ranked player, rather, on the FC hockey board. And let's finish this segment before we pause for a second and check in with Zeev Bouyum, who played with Denver in the NCAA this year. He is your 9th ranked player on the FC hockey board, and he's the first defenseman that we're going to hear from. Tell us a little bit about Zeev Bouyum, who, you know, could very well be there, but could very well be one of the first defensemen taken in this year's draft.
Well, let's start here. How much do you like winners, Pat?
I like winners a lot.
He has not lost over the course of the last 14 months. Won a national championship as a key player as a freshman at the University of Denver. Won gold with Team USA at the 2024 World Junior Championships, including a goal in the gold medal game to finish the tournament with the best plus minus at plus 11. Circle back about 14 months ago, won gold again with Team USA at the World Under 18 Championship. This is just a player that somehow finds a way to win. So if you're looking to bring a winning culture, a winning pedigree into your organization, and again, he's still just an 18-year-old, that's not to put mounds and mounds of pressure on him, but when your development path includes knowing what it takes to win at every level, that is a feather in your cap all day. And he's going to be an interesting watch in terms of the first 10-ish picks of the draft, because he's right there in that mix with the Levshinovs, Dickinson, Parekh, Salayev, as the potential top defenseman from this draft class. And we're not going to find out until 5, 7, 10 years down the road how this order should have shaken out. But for me, he's one of, if not the best, all-round defenseman. I know Sam Dickinson will get a lot of credit for that. I think Zeev Bouyum's defense goes a little bit underrated, and he certainly still has that offensive game. He had 50 points, including 11 goals in 42 games, as a freshman in college. That is just
and
a
not
bonker.
And not at some slouch program either.
No, and it's not like he's a right winger. He's putting over a point per game as a rookie, as a freshman at the college ranks, where you're playing against players that are 21, 22, 23 years old. Doesn't faze him.
So Zeev Bouyum from San Diego, California, his extended family, a lot of them back in Israel, and he had or is going to have 80 people at the draft on Friday. 80 people, and that's why this question off the top makes a little bit more sense from Mr. Vickers.
Have you figured out your seating chart? Because it's going to be a big moment when your name is called. You're either going to turn to one parent or another or something like that. Have you figured out the logistics of how to execute properly without getting in trouble?
Yeah, I think we're going mom first with the hug. I think she was the one driving us 2.5 hours every day and doing all that work. And my dad was obviously grinding with his work and making sure he can support us so he can play. So, but definitely go mom, dad, and we'll see who goes first with my brothers.
Yeah, from your perspective, is this the culmination of a true sort of family event? You mentioned your mom logged a lot of miles. Your dad obviously worked hard to put you in a position like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you look back on all the years that you just grinded going, you know, playing youth hockey and kind of to see what my family did, what my parents did for me and my brothers without knowing what our path could be or what the journey is, and just solely doing it to support us was so unique and special. So for me, I feel so grateful for them to all be here, and yeah, it's going to be an awesome moment, and it's very rare that you know, just my brothers and I are together. So for all our family from Israel to come down and you know, see us all, it's awesome.
You mentioned that it's not necessarily a number that matters, but a team wanting you for you. What is a team getting when they draft you?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, they're going to get a kid who's, you know, outgoing and you know, loves to have a good time, and very positive guy in the room. So you know, I think hockey wise, I'll bring a winning culture and you know, things to a team that you know, some players might not. I think for me, you know, I've been on three different winning teams, and you know, I've seen three different winning cultures, and I think that's a big message, and you know, something that can kind of show teams that you know, I know what it takes to win.
I was going to say, is this basically a dream season, a dream scenario? As you mentioned, there wasn't a lot of losing going on when you were on the ice.
For sure, yeah, it's definitely been a whirlwind. I mean, I can't even really wrap my head around it right now, honestly. It's last 14 months have been incredible, and you know, stuff that you dream about. So I feel so fortunate and grateful to be in the position I am, and to be able to play on the teams I've played on.
Yeah, the start of the season, I mean, could you envision, you know, potential top five, top 10 pick in the draft? I mean, you know, I don't think that a lot of people may have put you there early on, but yeah. I mean, you certainly put together a season that puts you in this conversation.
I think for me, you know, like I said, it's not all about the draft. I think for me, it was going into Denver, showing the coaching staff, showing the players that this is the player I am, and I want to win a championship. So that was the biggest goal for me, and kind of just letting everything take care of itself. And you know, for me, I've always had belief and confidence in myself that you know, I can do what I want to do and do anything that I can do. So you know, going back to my 15 U days at Shattuck, no one believed I was gonna make NCDP, and I had the confidence and the self-belief myself that I'm not gonna listen to the outside noise, I'm not gonna listen to anybody else, and I'm gonna put my mind to it and do it. So you know, it's kind of the same message, honestly, going into this year. Not a lot of people knew who I was or knew what I could do, and you know, it was my time to kind of show to myself and to everybody else what I can do.
There is a lot of uncertainty in this draft class, probably more than any in recent memory. What's it like from a player perspective? We know what it's like from a media perspective. Everybody here has probably done a mock draft trying to figure it out, but what's it like from a player perspective to live it?
Yeah, I think it's different. I think it's really cool that you know, it's kind of a toss-up, and anything can happen, and I think it's really exciting. Everyone's going to be on their toes and you know, waiting to hear their name get called. So I think it's exciting. You know, it's obviously way different. I think it's very team-oriented, whoever, you know, whatever the team needs, and that's kind of how it is every draft, right? But you know, I think this one's probably a little bit more like that. So yeah, I'm super excited, and I can't wait.
Do you remember the first professional athlete you met as a kid?
I think it was Drew Doughty. Yeah, I was just, you know, at the Junior Kings at the Toyota Sports Center, we'd practice on Saturday mornings, and you know, the Kings would work out and skate right before us. So you know, sometimes we'd sit around and we'd try to get sticks from them or whatnot, and he actually gave me a stick. It was one of the first players I ever met, so that was one of the coolest moments. You know, I still have the stick to this day, so yeah, it was really cool.
Okay, that is Zeev Bulyum. Maybe he's the first defenseman to go off the board at this year's draft. The Denver product, University of Denver product, is the 9th-ranked player on the FC hockey board. So far from the top prospects on Wednesday, we heard from Tisha Ginla, Cole Iserman, and Zeev Bulyum as we continue along on this edition of Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us. First round of the NHL draft, Friday night. That's when we'll find out who the actual first defenseman off the board is here. It says Steinberg and Vickers from Vegas. Our draft week coverage continues. It's brought to you by our friends at Atlas Pizza. Celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, continuing along from Vegas, it's Flames Talk from the draft, the 2024 NHL draft on Friday. And our draft coverage is brought to you by our four great sponsors, including All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls. Visit allkinddoorservices.com. SteinbergAndVickers.com. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you from Las Vegas, and it's time to check in with another guy that I know a lot of Flames fans are hoping could be around when Calgary selects number 9, and that is Berkeley Catton of the Spokane Chiefs, 116 points this year in the Western Hockey League with Spokane, and FC Hockey has him ranked number 4 on their board.
Yeah, we're quite high on Berkeley Catton, and for good reason. As you mentioned, 116 points, 54 of those were goals, 62 assists. He led all NHL draft eligibles in scoring this season, but he's not a one-trick pony. He's not one-dimensional. He also led the WHL in shorthanded goals, so he has that two-way ability. A very, very heady player, gifted offensive center with a massive hockey IQ, heck of a lot of poise, quick feet. He is just one of three WHL players since 2000 to top 115 points in his draft season. Most recent, Connor Bedard. Not bad company to be a part of if you're Berkeley Catton.
Let's hear from the Spokane Chiefs product. Here is Berkeley Catton.
What has this week been like so far for you?
Yeah, just kind of got in last night and got to experience how hot Vegas is real quick. You know, it's been really good so far, though, kind of getting to come here, see all the guys and, you know, the top prospects. And, you know, it's been really fun so far.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Are you trying to kind of take everything in as it goes along?
Yeah, you know, for sure I am. This is such a cool experience, you know, especially here in Vegas and in the Sphere. We're all so grateful for it and looking forward to it. But, you know, this is kind of the starting point, I think, in my mind. You get picked by your team, and then, you know, you start fresh right the next day. So it's pretty exciting, though.
What's the anticipation level for Friday night?
It's high. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. You know, there's so much uncertainty, I think, and you know, that's what makes it all more exciting. You know, hearing once my name gets called, it's going to be, you know, a sigh of relief, lots of excitement, and then obviously all the people that have helped me get to where I am will be there to help me, you know, to kind of be there with me. So it'll be fun.
You're 2 days away from it. Do you find yourself kind of charting the draft in your mind a little more now?
Yeah, especially being here and seeing everything. And it's your mind races for sure. As I was kind of saying before, there's so much uncertainty with everything. And you know, I'm just kind of rolling with the punches right now. So, yeah, like you said, it's going to be fun.
How do you look back at your season? That's a productive, really productive year. Like, what went right for you? How do you look back at 116 points this year?
Yeah, you know, I think the points part is obviously great, but I was really happy with my growth this year in my overall game, I think. You know, I look at my kind of goal-scoring side of things, and that really skyrocketed this year, which was awesome. And, you know, I think I grew a lot as a player and made myself a more dynamic player, I guess. So I was more happy about that more than the points or anything.
There's always talk about, you know, playing center at that next level. What's your confidence level of playing down the middle as you move up to the next level?
Yeah, I honestly have full confidence in that. A guy like Brayden Point, who I see lots of similarities of him and myself, or, you know, vice versa. So I think I obviously have that ability, and I believe I will, but I think growing up I was always a winger. You know, playing up in age groups, kind of got kicked to the wing by the older guys. So I have that ability to play wing as well. So I think either way, I will find success that way.
What sticks out about Brayden Point's game?
His speed, and like, he's so dynamic off entries. And, you know, playing with a guy like Nikita Kucherov helps that out as well. You know, they're dish out to the wall, then quick little slip play to the middle, and then Brayden makes a play right from that. So I think that's where I'm strong, as my transition game is a very strong part of my game, and, you know, zone entries and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of where we would, you know, be similar.
Have you seen the Sphere? Have you walked past it?
No, yeah, I kind of saw it coming in off the plane, and I was changing colors, and it was the moon at one point. It was pretty cool. So I haven't been in it, but I've just kind of seen it.
They're gonna put, like, when you guys get your names called, I think they're gonna put you guys on the outside of the building, so where that moon was, could end up being a giant picture of you. Can you even conceive of that?
Of my face? So
your highlights.
So yeah, well, that'd be weird. Some other people flying in on a plane and seeing my highlights, that'd be kind of weird. But again, this is just a surreal kind of time right now, and, you know, If that does happen, that'd be pretty cool.
How many friends, family, coaches, people are going to be here for you?
My mom, I feel like, just keeps inviting people. It's got to be 50 plus now, so I'm going to have a big crowd. And, you know, I think as soon as my name gets called, you'll hear a big roar from my side of things.
Have you seen what pictures from the inside of that place look like? I know there have been a few concerts there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had a chance to see what it could look like inside there.
Oh, yeah.
See, imagine yourself up there.
I've heard very steep stairs, and it doesn't seem real when you're in there. And someone said they went and saw like some sort of movie or something. And it felt like you were in the movie. And like, so I think it's going to be super cool.
Can I ask you about, you've been asked about a couple of the meetings you've had. Can I ask you about the interviews and meetings you had with Calgary?
Yeah. That was cool, you know, Jerome being in there and lots of hockey guys I recognize going on TV all the time. And, you know, being from Saskatoon, which is one of the closest spots, you know, kind of to Calgary, I've always grew up watching them and following them. And, you know, being in that draft room, and I also thought that meeting went extremely well too. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
I was going to say, being a Western Canadian guy playing for or getting selected by the Flames, that'd be pretty cool, hey?
Yeah, honestly, that'd be a dream. And like I said, like, being a young kid going to Calgary for little hockey tournaments and, you know, obviously following the Flames and stuff, that would just be an unbelievable thing.
You've talked a little about, you know, how unknown things are, and with this, it doesn't seem like anybody knows how it's going to go. Is that exciting for you, nerve-wracking for you?
Yeah, it's weird. I'd say it was the biggest thing. Like, you know, in a couple of days from now, I'll be a part of an NHL team, and right now I just have zero clue who that'll be. So I think everything's going to pan out how it should. And, you know, I'm looking super forward to it.
Okay, that is Spokane's Berkeley Catton, ranked number 4 on the FC Hockey Draft Board. We'll see if he's still available when the Flames are selecting number 9 at Friday's first round of the NHL Draft. And let's finish it off with a couple of defensemen. And for many, Sam Dickinson might be kind of the best all-round D-man in this draft. Sam Dickinson, ranked number 6 on the FC Hockey Board of the London Knights in the OHL.
Yeah, he might be one of those players in the 2024 draft that has the highest floor. Not that you're necessarily drafting for floor, but if you can guarantee a top 10 pick that's going to fix your in as, you know, he's still got to put in the work, but at worst a number 4 defenseman in your organization, you take that all day. Still over a point per game defenseman in the Ontario Hockey League, coming out of a massive juggernaut of a program with the London Knights. Skates beautifully, has size at 6'3". There isn't an element that you can knock him on, other than he's very good across the board at everything, but maybe not elite at one particular trait, whereas some of the other defensemen in this class might not be as good as him across the board, but do have that elite trait. Still, Sam Dickinson is going to be a player in the NHL. I don't think there's any sort of doubting that. It's just a matter of how high he can get in terms of his potential.
Let's hear from the London Knights defenseman. Here's Sam Dickinson.
How does it feel? You've come this far through your draft journey only a little short while ago. What's the emotion like being here in Vegas and getting to get to that point?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, a bit of a kind of like a full realization that, you know, this is kind of all happening. You know, you get to see everybody here and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, for me, it's just kind of, it's really exciting that this has finally happened and, you know, just kind of take everything in and enjoy all of it.
How's the season gone for you? Has it felt like a blink of an eye? Has it felt long? How do you sort of evaluate getting here?
I think it's been a little bit of both. I think during the season, you look back, it kind of feels like sometimes it's dragging on and you know, obviously the OHL, the CHL, pretty long season comparatively to a couple of the other leagues, but I think you look back at it now and, you know, it feels like it went by pretty quick for such a huge year. I think a lot of the guys on my team who had, you know, gone through this process before, I'd mentioned that, you know, kind of stay in the moment, stay present with everything, because it'll feel pretty slow during the year, but you get to the end of the year and it's gonna all seem pretty quick.
I don't think it's any secret that the strength of the top end of the first round is the amount of defensemen and the different types of defensemen. How do you see fitting into the grouping that potential are top 10 picks?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, like you said, there's obviously a lot of high-end defensemen, and, you know, this is a draft with a lot of top-end guys, and I think for me it's just, you know, the complete game that I have kind of all over the ice and kind of what I can do, offense, defense, you know, transitionally, kind of all over the ice is kind of, I think, the thing that separates me.
We talk a lot in the media about how uncertain this draft is going to unfold. What's it like from the player perspective, knowing how things can go wildly different? There's no set pattern this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, it doesn't really affect us too much. You know, I'm not really a guy who's looking at much of that stuff. You kind of try to stay out of it and just, you know, wait until Friday night and see what happens then. And kind of, you know, that's the only order that matters at the end of the day.
I won't ask you to name a team or anything, but do you have an inkling? Have you had interviews with a certain team that you're like, maybe that could be where I'm going?
Yeah, I think everybody gets those kind of feelings and those sort of gestures from teams as well. So I think, you know, there's a range in a couple teams that maybe, you know, seem a little bit more likely than others.
You kind of detailed your game a little bit. Was there a particular player that you've modeled after, or a couple different defensemen you've tried to pick some elements out of your game?
Yeah, I think a lot this year has been Miro Heiskanen on Dallas. I think just kind of the way that he kind of takes over the games with his skating ability, you know, his smarts is something that I think, you know, I do a little bit of already, but it's something that I've tried to, you know, incorporate into my game a lot more throughout the year as well.
How much does it matter to how high you go?
It's a number at the end of the day. It's cool to go as high as possible, but you know, that kind of thing's a little bit out of my control. You know, I can show why I can go as high as possible, but you know, it's at the end of the day, it's, you know, about the location and how the team feels about picking you and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think there's a lot more factors other than a number.
I'm sure it's like this every year, but this year seems to be kind of extra. There's a lot of question marks and a lot of movement. Some guys could go, you know, as high as 3, low as 12. Does that add any kind of stress, or how does that factor in for a player when there's so many question marks?
I think, you know, it makes you think a little bit more than normal, but again, I think it's just kind of extra noise that goes on, kind of not really, I think, something that, you know, guys like us have to worry about, the guys here. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to be a top 12 pick, I don't think you can really complain about that. So I think at the end of the day, it's just, you know, sometimes things that you don't really need to worry about.
When you're a young guy and a younger prospect and you look up at certain guys in the NHL, and I'm sure there's things you want to take from their game, how do you kind of pick and choose, and how have you personally, are there certain players that you picked and chose how you want to model your game?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, I enjoy watching hockey and that kind of stuff, so it's something where I just sit down, turn on a game, and you know, you see guys and things that they do and then, you know, that you want to add into your game and things that you like. So I think a big thing is just kind of sitting down, enjoying and watching some hockey, and you kind of pick up on little things like that kind of every night.
Any specific guys you've stolen from?
Yeah, I think a big one, like I said, was Heiskanen on Dallas. I think kind of the way that he just kind of takes over games with his skating and his mind is something I've tried to do a lot of.
What's been the biggest eye-opening thing during this entire journey from last summer to now? What's probably been the most difficult thing to get a grasp on?
You know, there's a little bit of everything. It's kind of all of, it's a pretty surreal feeling and experience to go through all of it. So, you know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint one, but kind of all of it's been, you know, a challenge and, you know, something that I've obviously, you know, never been through before. So it's been a lot of leaning on, you know, guys who have gone through it before, being in London and people that I trust to help me go through this.
Okay, there's Sam Dickinson of the London Knights, ranked number 6 on the FC hockey board. And the last guy we're going to hear from is also right there on that FC hockey draft board, the draft board, your number 7 ranked player over at FC hockey is Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit in the OHL. So that's where we're going to wrap it up. Couple of OHL defensemen. And again, Parekh might very well be there when the Flames select at number 9.
It's really going to be interesting to watch Parekh develop over the next couple of years, because he is this draft's most offensive defenseman. He had 96 points in the OHL this season. That led all CHL defensemen. CHL Defenseman of the Year award followed, not surprisingly. Won the Memorial Cup with Saginaw, finished the tournament averaging a point per game. And he's very interesting because he kind of compares a little bit to Erik Karlsson. Doesn't have the well-rounded defensive game, but what he does, he is absolutely elite at, and that is his offensive game, the way he can play as a fourth forward, a little bit of a rover, and just a little bit of a fun fact for him in terms of setting up his year this season. Graduated high school 2 years early and has been taking courses at the University of Toronto since he was 15 years old. So there's a headiness to the way he plays the game, a little bit of a headiness off the ice as well.
That makes sense when you hear that. Here's Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit.
What's it like being this close but still having to wait to find out your NHL future?
You know, I'm just kind of trying to live in the present. So it's nice that we're getting close to the day, but you know, just still hanging out, enjoying what I'm doing, and it'll come when it comes.
Living in the present, but how long has this journey felt? It doesn't just start in August or September. This is something that's been going and circling in your mind, I imagine, for a couple years.
No, not really. Honestly, the season went by really fast. So, you know, I wish I could still be playing with those guys and and still hanging out with them on the daily. Like, you know, the draft's great and all, but you know, I love the team that I had this year and the group that I was with, and you know, I probably won't get that tight of a group, but you know, it has been a couple of years of thinking about this, and you know, it's crazy that it's here now.
An eventful season for you, obviously, as you mentioned. What has been the best part so far?
Winning the World Cup. There wasn't a better moment in my season than that, and you know, there's no better feeling than winning.
I don't think it's a secret that in this draft class, the strength is the amount of top-end defensemen that are available, and it's almost a choose-your-own-adventure for an NHL team as to what kind of defenseman you want. How do you feel you fit into the picture amongst the D?
You know, we all bring different styles of game, like you said, and you know, I think I'm top D in this class, and you know, I think I'm great at what I do. So obviously, I believe in myself and believe in the type of player I am, and you know, we'll see what happens come draft day.
The other narrative is this draft is going to be more unpredictable than any we've ever seen from a player's perspective. What's that like?
It's not the best thing ever because you kind of have no idea what's going to happen. But you know, I guess you kind of just wait and see. And I mean, I'm trying not to stress about it or anything, and I really haven't. I'm just trying to enjoy it. But it will be unpredictable come draft day, and you never know what will happen.
You mentioned that stress. How have you been sleeping at night? Because I can't imagine me at 18 being this close and having all this uncertainty.
Yeah, you know, I think only one night of the last month I've had a little bit of, you know, don't know what's going to happen, kind of like a little nervous, a little upset with the uncertainty, I guess. But other than that, it's kind of been, it's easy. It's been easy to sleep at night. It's been easy because I'm every day I get one day closer to the draft. So, you know, it hasn't been too much on my mind, but obviously it's a little bit there.
Are you doing media on the outside will do mock drafts and stuff? Have you been looking at the board going, okay, this could happen? Like, what's it like from that perspective? And you know who you've interviewed with. You have a good sense of who's showing interest in you.
Yeah. You know, the lists are there, but at the end of the day, the team's got to make decisions. So, you know, obviously I know what teams I've interviewed with. I know a team kind of shows a little more, I guess, interest, but I guess teams are hiding their cards. So obviously they're not going to tell anyone anything. And, you know, a little bit of uncertainty like we've talked about, but we'll see what happens. You just try not to look at that, especially as you're going through the season. It's not the best thing for you.
All right, that's Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit, the number 7 ranked skater, number 7 ranked player on the FC hockey board. And all 6 of the guys that we've heard from this hour on Flames Talk could very well be there for the Flames. Any one of those 6 could be the next member of the Calgary Flames. We heard from, in reverse order, Zane Parekh, Sam Dickinson, Berkeley Catton, Zeev Bulliam, Cole Iserman, and Tejah Ginla kicked us all off. Flames have got some options at number 9, and honestly, neither you nor I have any idea how this thing is going to shape up, so should be fun on Friday.
It's not an exaggeration when I say you can put these 6 names in a hat with a couple others and just draw them out, and you'd have an equal chance of nailing the order that they're going to go in on Friday as me sitting here saying it, as you sitting there saying it. That's what makes this draft class so fun, so unique, is its unpredictability. I can't wait.
You can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Awesome talking to the top prospects a little earlier today. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. We are in Las Vegas for the 2024 NHL Draft. Exclusive content coming your way from the Flames on Thursday afternoon and the first round on Friday. Rest of the rounds on Saturday. Our draft coverage as we start to wrap up this hour, brought to you all week by our 4 great sponsors, including Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property's secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.